Tom Davis is Director of Government Relations for Deloitte and former Chairman of the House Oversight and Government Reform Committee. Tom, it's great to have you back on the program. I want to do a little blast from your past. The Services Acquisition Reform Act of 2003. A panel came out of that, released their final findings and recommendations in 2007. What is your sense of what's changed and for the better or worse, if anything, since that panel released its findings?
Well, I think the one thing that's changed is the acquisition workforce has not gotten larger and it's not gotten any better. We're seeing right now a record number of bid protests coming out and being sustained. You've got to invest in your federal workplace. You've got to pay people appropriately. You've got to be able to recruit them and keep them and train them. And we don't seem to be doing a very good job of doing that. And we're seeing that out the other end with the record number of protests and the government not getting the kind of products and services that it needs it at the right cost.
It's funny, I dug out a report on the SARA panel from Federal Computer Week from January of 2007, and a lot of the same issues that people brought up then are the same issues that we're talking about today, Tom. Stan Soloway, Professional Services Council, said the panel didn't seem to fully understand the distinction between products and services. I still hear that, not just from Stan, but all across the landscape, that acquisition rules and regulations, the FAR and so on, don't make any distinction, and contracting officers aren't making the distinction themselves.
Well, I think part of the problem right now is that a lot of the contracting officers are pressured to take the low price. Low price technically acceptable. And the difficulty with that is, of course, some of these are not commodities that you can just interchange. But the short-term cost pressures on these agencies are such that that's why they try to save a few dollars today, even though they may end up paying more in the long run. And that's done in their selections. It's done in the number of protests we're seeing across the board. So you need to have constant vigilance in contracting to make sure that you're getting the results that you need. And it means a cadre and a workforce that is trained and keeps their eye on the ball and is constantly, renewed. And we're just not seeing that right now. We've kind of kept our eye off the ball. And I'll tell you what doesn't help is continuing resolutions where you get no new contract starts during that time. And then it's kind of hurry up and let's get this stuff out the door. Sequestration has taken a huge toll on contracting and the contracting industry and our ability to get things done in an even-handed manner. The fact that the federal government's been without pay raises or paltry pay raises over the last half decade, none of this has helped. You got to invest in your workforce to make things work.
How much of the workforce issues have to do with the sense that nobody has their backs, that if they make a bad decision, they'll kind of be hung out to dry? Not that somebody will purposefully cut them off at the knees, but just that because of the pressure that you mentioned to get the lowest price, if somebody does try to look at something from a value perspective, they won't get any backup on it.
Well, I think it's a lot of the problem. You're getting a lack of innovation sometimes. You go with a safe way. Nobody wants to step outside the box and mm-hmm. take a chance. And we used to say in business, if you're not making mistakes, you're not innovating. And I think the same is true in government at this point. Nobody wants to step outside the box. You're getting we used to have a saying here, no CEO got fired for picking Goldman Sachs. I think the same kind of thing applies with some of the contractors. So some of the small, innovative contractors run up and win a contract, and some of the larger guys will come after them. You get congressional correspondents. Why'd you pick these guys? Why'd you sole source this? I'm seeing more and more of that. What we need is to empower these guys at the window who understand the government's needs and allow them to get the job done. And nobody wants to allow them to do that because you may not get the results you want, anecdotally. What we need to look at is what are the best results for the government.
Part of that seems to me, though, Tom, that it's parochial, and it's
very
not just by, say, congressional district, but by jurisdiction or fiefdom among committees, that if something isn't done the way that we, the five or six members of a committee or subcommittee that are most important, think it should be done, then you're due for a hearing, and, well, I'll just try to stay out of that mix entirely by going the absolute safe route.
I think that's correct. I think that's the kind of action you're seeing, and the result is what we have today. You've got to empower people to make decisions, and we're not doing that.
What is your sense of the lay of the land as far as members of the House in particular, but the Senate too, really understanding the nuts and bolts of acquisition? When you left, people lamented the fact that there weren't that many people coming behind you that really got it. What do you see the state of the art in that respect now as?
Yeah, well, I was a government contracts attorney before I went into politics, and had done literally everything from bid protests, on down through the line, preparing best and finals, and understood the process and had an appreciation from a contractor's perspective, at least, of what worked and didn't work. Most members don't have anywhere near that kind of familiarity with the process. To them, they legislate anecdotally. They have a friend who had a contract that went awry, or they didn't win something they thought they should have won. And so Congress tends to legislate anecdotally instead of basically on the facts. And so it's been hard to find members with a keen interest in this since I left.
Who on the Hill now is really well immersed in the issues that you took on when you were there? People cite Jerry Connolly a lot, your successor in your district in Virginia. But are there other voices that people in the contracting community can look to as potentially beacons of hope, I guess?
Well, sure. Look, Jerry came out of the industry. He wasn't a contracts attorney, but he came out of SAIC and before that another company, SRA. So he kind of SRI, I think it was. And they understood, how contracting affected bottom lines of companies in that perspective, which was important. Mac Thornberry, who will be the new chairman of Armed Services, I think recognizes that the only moving legislative vehicle that seems to come out of Congress these days where these issues can be addressed is your defense acquisition bills each year. So he's convened a task force trying to get to the bottom of this and recognizing that the system is broken. I think a lot of this of the policy gets fueled by trial lawyers, people who have vested interests in what's going on currently, or the cost pressures you get on these acquisition officers to get the low price. And that's not always a good thing. So hopefully something will come out of this. Darrell Issa has some understanding of this. He has a bill on FITAR that deals with federal IT acquisition that he's gotten out of the House. It's hung up in the Senate. Mark Warner's taken an interest in this on the Senate side, trying to move some of these. But in terms of members that understand this stuff from top to bottom, there just aren't many of them. It's not a very attractive political issue, and most people don't pin their political fortunes on government acquisition policy.
You mentioned Mac Thornberry's task force in the House Armed Services Committee. Hask has taken that issue on a number of times before with reform commissions and task forces and so on. What is your sense of what makes Congressman Thornberry's effort any different than the others?
Well, look, the one thing, you mentioned the Services Acquisition Reform Act, and we had a number of other acquisition bills that we would usually attach to that bill. So that is the moving vehicle generally. FISMA was attached to your defense acquisition bill. So I think that generally is the moving vehicle. And so he understands that and says, look, this is, I've got jurisdiction on this thing, or at least the vehicle under which these issues can move, so I better get up to snuff on it. Now, I don't know if it gets any better or worse, but at least he has a panel or group of people he is listening to that are wide-ranging in their views and recognizes that there is a problem.
You mentioned FITARA. Is it your sense that FITARA will go a long way toward helping the issues that Congressman Issa and Congressman Connolly wanted to help? The one that Jerry talks about when he's here most often is workforce acquisition workforce reform and bucking up the reform the workforce.
Well, it helps on the margins. It certainly empowers your CIOs at this point, some of which are in the loop, some of which are out of the loop. It moves away from some of the silos into broader policy goals. As I said, it's through the House. Whether it gets through or not this session, or whether they have to go back to drawing boards, I think is anybody's guess at this point. It depends on what happens at the lame duck. But all of these are incremental changes. I think since Clinger-Cohn, you haven't had a huge overall change of the acquisition force or necessarily need it. But there are some things that that could be done that are pretty common sense that they just haven't addressed because of dollar shortages, or you know, sometimes you just run into political roadblocks by vested constituencies.
Are you talking about remedies that the agencies or that the executive branch as a whole could take on itself, or
sure,
are they legislative branch things?
Both, but I think if OMB, the Office of Management and Budget, has traditionally been just OB, the Office of Budget, the management, although you have a component to that, they've really never flexed their muscle across the agencies the way they are capable of doing. You get a very innovative management officer who has the backing of the president. They could do some wide-ranging things within the executive branch, but there's either a reluctance to do it or the lack of political clout and interest on the part of the president because they have other pressing issues on the budgetary side at OMB. Otherwise, it will take some kind of legislation. I think at this point, engaging the legislative apparatus in Congress is an appropriate way to go about and start innovating some of these stuff and at least starting the conversation on its way.